Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith. Well, we continue our series in the parables, and as with many of Jesus' parables, this parable of the friend at midnight has a rather uncomfortable analogy within it, because God is depicted as a grumpy householder and a rather useless friend. But the point of the parable is not to start imagining that God is like this. He's not. The point of the parable is to challenge us to pray in a more outrageous way. Or as the parable itself said, to pray with shameless audacity. And that's what I've entitled this sermon, Shameless Audacity. The story goes, it's midnight. Everyone is in bed, everyone is asleep, but you, and notice that Jesus has put us in the parable. You have a friend on a journey who's just arrived at your house and come to stay, and you run out of bread. You haven't got any food to give him. He's famished from his journey. You haven't got anything. Now, this weekend, Jane and I have friends coming to stay. They're going to come to the 11:30 service. We're coming to stay. And on Friday, we had clean run out of bread. Literally, there were just a few crumbs left in the house. So Jane, because she is a forward-thinking, sensible person, dragged me off to the supermarket on Friday on my day off to go shopping, and we bought loads and loads of bread. But not so the person in the story, which is you. Somehow, it simply escaped your mind to buy bread. You didn't go to the shops, you didn't get any bread, and your guest has arrived famished, and now it's midnight, and Tesco's 24 hours somehow has failed, and so what do? Well, in the story, you go round to your next door neighbour. Now, think for a moment of your own next door neighbour. My next door neighbour, on one side I've got Theo and Rita, and on the other side I've got John. And I know that if I went round to either Theo or Rita or to John and asked them to give me some bread because I'd run out, they would give it to me because they're good people. But it's midnight. You can't go round at midnight. In the story, the person, which is you, you go round to your next door neighbor at midnight. You ring the doorbell, you bang on the door, you throw stones at the window, you shout and scream. And then eventually, a bleary-eyed neighbor in his pajamas looks out of an upstairs window and says, "What do you want?" Now, how many of us would actually do that? I mean, it's outrageous behavior. I don't believe many of us would actually go and do that to a next-door neighbor. And in the story, the guy at the window is not going to give you the bread because you're his friend. He's going to give you the bread to get rid of you. He's going to give you the bread because of your shameless audacity. You couldn't care less. You couldn't care less about what he thinks of you. You couldn't care less about the fact that it's midnight. Shameless audacity. Outrageous behavior. Now, most of the prayers that I hear around the place, around here, are in comparison to that, very timid. Very timid. The sort of average prayer that I hear is, "Oh, dear Lord, please would you help us a little bit?" I very rarely hear that kind of audacious prayer, "Give us bread!" And this is in sharp contrast to the sort of prayers that we read in the Bible. Most of the prayers that we have recorded for us in the Bible are in the Psalms, because the Psalms is a book of prayers. And I've noticed something. The psalmists are outrageous. You take David, for instance. Many of the Psalms, we suppose, were written by David. And in them, David refers to his enemies as the wicked. And he refers to himself as the righteous. Now, this is David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, talking about people who, in terms of what they've done, weren't really any worse than him. And in that context, if we take, for instance, Psalm 55, David prays, "Confuse the wicked, confound their words, let death take my enemies by surprise." I mean, what sort of person prays like that? What sort of person prays with shameless audacity? And then it occurred to me that the only way that one could pray like that would be if you had an unshakable confidence that God would not reject you, that God would not reject your prayer. David's prayer comes from a place of deep, deep knowledge of the love of God. He knows that God loves him and accepts him and will never turn him away. And that knowledge makes him very bold. Because, of course, the thing that this parable doesn't say, but it's implied, and we all understand it, is that God is not like the grumpy householder and rubbishy friend in the house. The guy who eventually gives the bread just to get rid of the person. Now, God is not like that at all. And so how much more will God graciously give us all things? Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us approach the throne of God, the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And Jesus said in the passage that we had read for us, when you pray, say, "Father." In other words, we bound up to God like a little child. This is Almighty God. This is the ruler of the universe. This is the potentate of time, whose voice is like thunder, of whom the scripture says, "No one can see his face and live." we bound up to him and say, Dad, shameless audacity. Paul says God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. Friends, our prayers are too small. They're too small. Last year, in the Go and Grow project, every time that we faced seemingly impossible obstacles, God created a way forward for us. Now, I wish I could tell you that I prayed with shameless audacity. I wish I could, you know, the great man of faith. I did pray, but they were prayers of desperation. We need to learn to ask God for more, don't we? We need more of that shameless audacity. Because so often we end up looking at our problems, and when we look at our problems, we soon get overwhelmed. But when instead we look at God, our problems look surprisingly small in comparison. We can go to him and ask. Jesus told us to. Paul said, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. I think God is calling us to be very bold, to pray with shameless audacity, because that's the root of faith. That's what Jesus invites us to do with God our Father. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you that we see you at work everywhere. And we want to ask you for more, because you invite us to. We ask you to rend the heavens and come down. We ask you to cause a great move of revival to happen through our church, in our area, in our time. I pray that you will raise the level of our faith and give us extraordinary boldness as we reach out to you.